You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome. You're walking with me today on this road of life, Dr. Michelle Live. You're live, I'm live. And we know it. Why? Because, well, I'm speaking, so I have a little clue that I'm still breathing here. And you're listening, so we have clues. So this is awesome. I hope you had a lovely day yesterday and are having a great one today, wherever you are. Whatever, clouds, rain, storms, sunny, it's all meant to be. And it's really hard for us to get to that point of thinking, yeah, really, it's meant to be. I know for me, oftentimes I hear it and I'm like sitting in mass last Sunday and I don't remember if it was a reading or something I read beforehand, but it was something about, remember you are exactly where you're. Oh, it was Teresa of Avila. I read it on my program and just a few days ago. So you can log on to breadboxmedia.podbean.com. I always ask for inspiration from the Holy Spirit before I begin anything. And I don't even know if I asked today. So Holy Spirit, I'm asking now. But usually I'll ask beforehand for inspiration. Where do you want me to go? Put something in front of my face. Of course, we have to do our own work and our own due diligence and get ideas and follow them through. But I do ask for inspiration. And when I was, when you and I were all on that road, whichever road it was, I came across Teresa of Avila quotes. And one of them was a prayer or a poem. I think it was a prayer. It was almost like a wish prayer. And it was like, may you. And it was her wish for us, her spiritual wish for us, her spiritual desire, better than a wish, her desire, because she knew where she was at the point. She didn't know exactly where she was going. She had troubles. She had temptations and disasters and fears of the Spanish Inquisition. And was she doing the right thing? And all kinds of things. Always sought out her spiritual advisors. Always tried to keep going deeper. I mean, she was so deep, I can't even get into half the stuff she got into because she was very, very deep. So, but she said, you know, may you understand. She thanked God for not having the possessions she could have had. But she said, may you know, different than think or believe, know that you are exactly where you were meant to be. And that's so hard for me to reconcile with free will. It's like, well, how can I be exactly where I'm meant to be if I chose, sometimes without my own knowledge, because I was young and impulsive and silly and selfish and all those things. And I made really bad choices against my own internal desires, even that led me down a path that took me exactly away from the things I'd always wanted as a child or the things that I want now. So I had this middle part of living a path because I chose it, and that path ended up in disaster. And that disaster, when I wake up all those years later, realize, wow, God, you know, now I have to put that in my own head. Am I meant to be here? Well, there's a lot to think about, and that's why I have a spiritual director, and you should too. And I really do. I've told you before, I really, really, really do go and believe in angels. I believe that the spirit is the spirit. It is an energy force, just like you could walk through a tunnel and it's all dark in one way. And when you get out, there's a light, or a little crack can let a light through. Well, that light comes through all of us. Anytime, anywhere, I was waiting on the phone yesterday for someone from the internet company, and talking to this one gentleman, it was like, I don't know, just something about talking, the things he was saying were just kind of like resonating. And he wasn't talking philosophy. It was just little, it was the things in between. It was the spirit in between the words about your cable and how, yeah, you're supposed to have a faster modem. And, ooh, I see here that we never took off the bottleneck. And so it just in those, that's nothing. That's not spiritual, but it is, because he and I conversed on a different level as well. Nothing I could put my finger on. I'm sure nothing he could put his finger on, because we only spoke the words of what's wrong with my modem, that language. But little things that came in between spurred some things in me. And that's why you listen. You listen. Ask the animals and they shall tell you, Job 12:7. I watch this now. I didn't know it at first. But when I walk my dog Mozart, my German shepherd, who's got, I mean, really, God has to be giant for me. I mean, he puts dancing angels in my path. He puts giant billboards that might take me 20 years of it in my face, 1 inch from my face, to actually see that it's in front of me. And by that time, 20, and I'm not exaggerating 20 years, by that time, 20 years have gone by. And that's where I come back to that conundrum. Is this where I was really meant to be? So I'm talking in circles here, but you see how we all go there. So here I am. And so God has a great sense of humor, as well as God is that being who knows all. So he knows every inside, every cell, every perversion, every beauty, every thought, and they are all in one basket that is called you. He knows all. He knows every anger, every hurt. He collects them. A young, beautiful young lady in an eating disorder clinic I worked at, with a tube down her nose, she handed me something once, and it was a collection that she had made of different psalms for me, which I thought was so tender and sweet. And I don't have it in front of me now, but one of the psalms, one of the lines was, he takes all your tears and collects them in a jar. And it was so absolutely beautiful. And he does that. This being that we say Yahweh, he knows. He doesn't just collect them and wait for you. He already knows all of them, everything, from the minute that he knew before the world began that you would be here. So are you meant to be? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So here I am walking my dog. And so his humor, God's humor, is such that when he placed this image of a German shepherd into my imagination, into my head, I really did not want a dog. And after about a month of asking God, okay, you know, am I going crazy? And we're going to talk about that today. Yeah, I could be crazy. Are we going crazy here? Or are we really seeing the supernatural in the natural? And that's where we have to walk, because there are some church scholars that say everything, or church doctors, doctors of the church. Teresa of Avila was a doctor of the church, that everything is supernatural. And you go, whoa, everything's supernatural? Does that mean that I walk around like this? So I'm getting this image of this dog, this face of a German shepherd. And I love symbolism. So I'm thinking, well, maybe I'm supposed to be looking at working with soldiers again because of the German shepherd and their role in the military, or maybe, you know, the PTSD. And I started to go down a path realizing that PTSD was being utilized, or let me put it this way, dogs were being utilized as guide dogs, as service dogs for people with PTSD. It was a new, and probably not so new, but it was a blossoming. It is a blossoming area. I thought, well, maybe that's it. But that one particular face, and I am so serious when I tell you, I looked at all kinds of pictures of German shepherds because I was reading about them. I didn't want one. I didn't want a pet. I couldn't take a pet. I could not take a pet. I'm telling you why God works in his funny ways. And I do firmly stand with my 2 feet on the ground that these things, you live in the supernatural. just as you're getting your coffee at McDonald's, you are living in the supernatural, and the Spirit can come to you in any way, shape, and form to, as our church doctors have said, their pleasure, to its pleasure, to his pleasure, whatever way works at the moment. And if you are a real concrete person, it might work in that way with you. If you are way out in the stratosphere somewhere and your creativity and your way that you put things together, because that's the way you were, that's the way your little machine was built, cool. God will do it that way. So I'm walking and I'm seeing this every single day, every day for a month. I'm seeing this image, and I'm looking at all these different, you know, researching this in the military dogs and PTSD and the rescue dogs and stories. And I'm seeing all kinds of German shepherds. And one day, a friend and I who walked every day during that time period had to, this friend had to meet her daughter at a different place in a different little town. And she called me, it was only about 5-6 minutes away. So she called me and said, you know, I'm waiting here and I've just, my daughter just left and I'm going to find a place for us to walk. So I said, sure, I'll meet you. And she Googled some, you know, little park, and we went to a little residential area and a little park. And that day I'm walking around with her and I stop in my tracks and I said, you know what? That right there, that dog, that guy with that dog coming toward us, that's the picture. That's the face. That is the face down to the finest detail. And that, my friends, is that face is now sitting in the corner of my room. That's Mozart. So I'm going to tell you about what he hears in his ears and how that relates to how God speaks to you and how you are going to be able to utilize that for your mental, physical, and emotional well-being. I am Dr. Michelle, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you are walking with me today on Dr. Michelle Live. So before the break, I am telling you about how I get this, and really I am like laying it all out here. You can turn it off now and go, oh my gosh, she's flipped. And they always say, I cannot tell you how many people, when I meet them, I can meet them in a store, or I can meet them at a party, or I can meet them anywhere. And they ask, well, what do you do? And I will say, I'm a psychiatrist. And they go, oh my gosh, all psychiatrists are crazy. And so, yeah, I'm beginning to think they're right. So you can either choose to stay on or you can listen to the crazy person rant. But I'm telling you, this is the truth. And it's really played out throughout my whole life. I've always had these kinds of experiences, and I didn't understand them as a young person. I didn't understand them at all. When I look back, I see, wow, yeah, yep, I really did. However, I understand now. I am, when I had my reconversion, it was shock, awe. I had to question my sanity. I'm always questioning my sanity, but I had to, you know, it was like, wow, this is an enormous, amazing extravaganza. And I checked it with priests and Orthodox friends that had been to Mass there every day for their whole life and lots of adoration, very, very trusted, holy friends. And, you know, saying, and the priest, especially several, had said, you know, no, this is your walk. And just to make sure that it wasn't just me going over the top. And So these things do happen depending on the kind of person you are. And it is not better or worse. Other people just have a thought in their head and they go into a library. As I told you about that friend that I knew, I've lost some touch with him, but he was during my reconversion. I met him and he would ride around Florida on a bicycle barefoot. And he was a merchant marine and had a pretty wild life. He was older, had spent 8 years being celibate and basically living one step away from being homeless, going to the library every day and reading church scholars. So he was his own little character, but that's how he ingested it. He was always, he loved God. He was very childlike in a lot of ways. And yet he from having no education, leaving school in the third grade, he just devoured all the church fathers and all the church scholars and all the doctors of the church. And so everyone has whatever's going to be and work for them. That's how God will talk to you continually. And it won't be the same today as it was yesterday, or it won't be the same tomorrow. That's why, going back to my dog, Mozart, it was at a time, and some of these things are confirmations I had, and it's not just that I didn't have a desire to have a pet. I could not have a pet. I really couldn't. I was traveling a lot. I didn't know anyone here. I was going back and forth to my home in a different state. I was, I had another place. I had my father, my mother. It was just, there's no way. There's no way. Lots of traumas going on in my personal life. And so there was no way. I couldn't have a pet. And I certainly couldn't have a dog. I mean, I couldn't even have a goldfish, really, an ant farm. I could not. And here I am, and I'm walking down that in that park, and there's the dog. And I walked up to this man, great big 6 foot something man with this German shepherd. And I said, you know, you're going to think I am totally crazy, but your dog has been in my head for about 3 weeks every day. And he said, well, by the way, this dog is for adoption. And I said, well, that's nice, but I can't adopt. You know, I'm not here to adopt a dog, but this is the dog. This is the face. It's just the face. Of course, not all dogs look exactly alike, as you know. So that just is the beginning of a story of me and Mozart. And now here I am almost a year and a half. In November, it'll be 2 years later. And I have a dog named Mozart. And he has his issues and I have mine. And we try to work them out together. So the point, though, is that what I've learned in Ask the Animals that I didn't even understand I was learning, but I have noticed that we're walking, and if these giant ears, and that's why for me, I guess God knows I'm pretty dense. I've got to have it bigger than life because he's given me bigger than life, and I'm sure he's up there going, are you kidding me? Can you, I mean, how you're going to walk into this, you're wearing this brick wall, you know, why don't you see it? And so we'll be walking and I've learned how to read his ears, you know, I mean, obviously there's some that are pretty obvious, but he begins when you know to start beginning to discipline him, or how we might be getting into something I might need to worry about, is when his ears go from just regular to boom, straight up. He's hearing something I cannot hear. He's locating something I don't know is even in around yet. He might hear a cat in a bush, I don't know how, half a block away. He might hear a lizard in a bush. I don't see that. I don't know that. And just like him, you have that happen to you all day long. Now, are you going to listen? Are your ears going to go up? Are you going to recognize that Mozart has no conflict? Just because I can't see it and no one else can see it. And if he were human, the world would think he was nuts. But he knows, he heard it, he sees it, and nothing's going to deter him. And sure enough, if he is in a situation where he is free in a guarded place, he will run and prance on all fours and jump. And sure enough, out comes a bunny or a lizard or a chipmunk or a squirrel. He knows, he hears it. And I don't think, oh, you must be crazy. There's nothing there. So like that, could we have so much conviction? Could you have so much conviction that you believe that these things that are out there in front of you, that you're going, oh, no, no, that's coincidence. That's nothing. That's not right. That's not it. I need to go. I need to ask somebody about it. I need to read this. I need to read that. God speaks to you all the time. If he didn't, he wouldn't say he would he? Really, think about it. In the whispers, in the trees, in the lightning, in the storm, in the calm, through manifestations, through other people, through taking prophets, making prophets after they get thrown overboard because they didn't listen. They didn't believe it. They're going, what? No, blah, blah. No, I can't do that. We all say we can't do it. And we're always waiting for that miracle. We're always waiting for that, you know, opening the mailbox and having it all be good because we hear the rest of the story. We hear how people find good fortune by listening to God. Well, what about Jonah? You know, what about Ezekiel? What about Abraham? What about David? What about, I mean, really, come on. What about Peter? What about any of them you can point to? They didn't have the easy life. They didn't just go to their mailbox and get $1 million. They had a lot of trials and tribulations. And Jesus shows us how to deal with that. He also shows us how sometimes we can doubt, even in the wedding feast at Cana. You know, it's not that he necessarily doubted. I don't know. He knew what he could do. But the idea is like, well, why are you even talking to me about this thing that they're running out of wine? That's not my issue. And then it's like Mary says, do as he says. Just do as he says. And so they do something. They don't think, oh, okay, well, I'll wait for the miracle and I'll pray a bunch. No, they just, he just said, she just had him bring the water, the jugs of water. And he turned him into wine. Well, he's doing that for you right now. And he can continue to do that. So that's a really, you know, I want you to really kind of open up to that. I'm going to read you a couple things and I'm going to go into, I might go into something a little bit more like down to earth, feet on the ground, a thing that young women are doing that's very dangerous for them, college age girls, or maybe even people who aren't so college age. So we might talk about that today, but I want to read to you a little something that is very beautiful. And it's talking about the difference between weakness and meekness. I don't know if I have time to do it before the break. So the difference between meekness and weakness. So this says, this is like looking at Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And here's a beautiful thought from a woman named Argelia. It says, if you want to make healthy choices to be well and whole again, you have to learn to be meek. We often confuse meekness with another term that sounds like it. Meek sounds like weak. Nobody wants to be weak. Meekness is in no way weakness. The truth is, meekness and weakness are at opposite ends of the spectrum. In fact, the Greek word for meekness literally means strength under control. To be meek is not to be weak. It is used to describe a wild stallion that has been tamed. The stallion still has all the strength it had when it was wild, but now its strength is under control. It is strength bottled up for the master's use. God doesn't want you to be weak, but he does want you to be meek. The Bible teaches that this is one of the keys to stress reduction in your life. So we're going to develop that. When we come back, 573-4BREAD-4, you can also email dmlive@redboxmedia.com.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Well, welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you are with me today on Dr. Michelle Live, and that was the loudest music, so I don't know whether I heard myself or whether you heard me. Anyway, so I think I've got my volume turned way up today. Yes, so let's go back to thank you, Jennifer. She says that she heard me, so that's great. All right, so let's go back to Matthew 5:5 and our Argelia's little thoughts, which are awesome. I agree with them very much. I mean, I think they're not even so much to agree with. They were enlightening to me. Let me put it that way. So I want to share them with you because I think it's a great way to look at this. Blessed are the meek. Sounds like weak, and we can take it to be meek, meek and mild and little and small and shrunken. No. And I really didn't understand it. You know, I love the etymology of words. I love it. So I have not looked up meek to see, but evidently in the Greek, it literally means strength under control. Isn't that awesome? Strength under control, which is on the complete opposite of weak. So when we left before the break, we left with a sentence. The Bible teaches that it's one of the keys to stress reduction in your life, and that is that meekness is. And here's how she goes on, which I think is enlightened. Here's a simple definition of the word meek. Quote, let go and let God, unquote. This is the essence of meekness. It is surrendering, submitting, and agreeing to what God wants to do in your life. It's letting God be God in your life. Let go and let God. I don't know a phrase that will do more for your health physically or emotionally than this phrase. If you'll begin to practice it in your life, it will relieve stress and eliminate worry. If you'll let go and let God, it will diffuse anger and end your hurt. And then she asks these questions. What areas of your life do you especially need to surrender so that God can take control? What might keep you from displaying meekness and submitting your life to God? How does giving God control diffuse anger and resentment? Those are awesome questions that we may or may not have time to go into today, because I have some thoughts on that. They're very thought-provoking. So I want you to think about those questions as we go on today, and then, of course, as we get into the weekend. So, you know, do let go, let God. And sometimes that sounds so cliche for us. And then we tend to think it means laying down and just laying down and let him consume us, body and soul, and into heaven or something, or just not do anything. Just lay down and let it all come to us. But in thinking, in understanding and hearing that this word, meek, coming from the word, the Greek word meaning strength under control, it means that you are strong, you are powerful, you're a warrior, you're an artist, you're a lover, you are a humorist, you are everything that's powerful in this world. Laughing is power. Crying is power. Thinking is power. Being is power. Interacting is power. And you can pervert that power, or you can live that power. You can live the supernatural. As we started in the beginning of this program, it's powerful, not weird or weak, to say, I'm living in the supernatural. I'm living the natural world in a supernatural world. And that's exactly what it is. This is God's universe. It's not the dirt's universe. It's the dirt's planet. It's the dirt. It's a planet. It's just it. We live on it. And we live on it. And what's, you know, when you think about it, we really just live on it. That if all of a sudden someone turned off the lights, you know, if they just turned off the light, bing, and all of a sudden the current to gravity was gone, because gravity's a force. Gravity's a thing. It's a physics. It's a law of physics. It's physics, but it is a thing. It's an energy. It's a combination of energy things. So a magnetism and things like that. If all of a sudden, you know how you can turn off a magnet, you've seen it done. Something gets magnetized and then it gets demagnetized. You see it in little science fairs. You can also do it by just turning the old magnet around. You can repel each other. We're not of the earth. We might get buried in the earth, but in 1 second, if all of a sudden the lights get turned off and gravity just boop, some meteor knocks some planet out of alignment and we don't have the gravity we used to have, you think you're going to stay in that ground? Or do you think the planet's going to stay a bunch of ground stuck together? Because it's not stuck together. And I know I'm kind of getting really off again. So I am telling you right now, I am Dr. Michelle, and I am not crazy. But these are all very supernatural thoughts that can have very practical application. You are filled with power, and we are afraid of our own power. I get afraid of my own power, and I know you get afraid of your own power. And it's so easy for those powerless of us to feel like we're doomed and weak, because in one way we accept, I am powerless, but yet I'm powerful. Seeming paradox, seeming dichotomy, but it is not. It is not. You are at once powerful and powerless. Of yourself, you can do nothing. So the powerful of this earth who try to exert power over others or power over our own destiny, so to speak, in some respects, we do have power over our own. See, it's always a paradox. It's a mystery. But our strength, when Argelia, and I don't know if I'm saying her name correctly, is putting in her thoughts about this stallion, the wild stallion tamed, that its strength and its power and its wildness is still all there. It's just under the control of its master. And that's what it means to surrender. Now, we look at it as breaking the spirit of the horse and all that, and I don't want to get into that metaphor absolutely completely. But again, are you willing to let your ears be as the dog's ears and hear? And you know, Mozart doesn't have to think about, oh, I'm believing that, let me see, is that really in there? Now, I better go to a book and see if this is where I would find, is this how I invest my time to go and look in that bush over there? What if it's not real? What if I waste my time? No, he's walking along, something in him picks up over the side. I mean, really, we're not hunting, we're walking in a park with kids and dogs and cars and traffic and all kinds of distractions. And yet his ears go bing straight up with all their might when he hears a little sound that I cannot hear. This is what you need to do. This is what I need to do. And I need to go for it. I need to jump and prance with delight the way I see him do on all fours. I mean, really, it's like he's a wound up toy. All fours go straight up as he's pouncing onto the bush. And he's not necessarily going to ever catch it. And he's not there growling. He's not scared. It's just what he does because he heard it. And that's what he was built to do. We're built to hear the sound of our master. We're built to hear the sound of the things that we're built for. To, in the dog's world or the horse's world, they're built for certain things. We're built for certain things. And that is to completely and utterly align with our Creator in a way that is to His purpose, for His purpose of those people on earth, of which we don't have to be privy. We don't have to know all the ins and outs. And we have to stop demanding evidence. And I say that with all conviction because I demand evidence all the time. I don't see it, but I don't see it. It can't be happening because why, how can my life fall apart when I asked you to put it back together, please? Why is it falling apart worse? That's not working. That doesn't work for me, you know? And if I were really to have a God's eye perspective of the whole thing, back way up, and I'm, you know, that old song, further along or farther along, we'll know all about it. Well, farther along, I'll know either nothing. I'll know that you know what? There was a rhyme for the reason. And you see, and it's like the old Christmas movie. It's escaping me the name, where he looks past on, he's able to see, he doesn't want to live. He doesn't want to go on. And yet he looks back at his life and he sees all these interactions he had and he sees everything that, I mean, how even as a kid, he may have saved people and he didn't know it just because of the interaction he had. Believe it for you. Believe it for you. You are so significant. When we return, we're going to, maybe I'll get a little bit more down to earth here, talk about some things that young college girls are doing that we would really like them not to do. And that you may fall into some of those categories too in your own more adult way. So 573-4BREAD-4, and you will always be anonymous. I want you to know that. I change names. I change parts of the country. I change number of kids. I change genders when I tell your story, unless you ask me specifically not to. So know that. Feel free. Email me, call me, text me.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4, coming at you from Breadbox Media. You can email me, DM live at breadboxmedia.com anytime. Over the weekend is just fine. And as I said, I change all kinds of stuff. So unless you tell me otherwise or you give me specific permission or say to me, you know, it's fine with me if you want to just share my name or you want to share whatever. And more times than not, I will go ahead and change things up a little bit anyway. But so I will change time frames, ages, places in the country, gender, how many kids, or what kind of education, or I'll change these things because it will still be your exact story. But I will give you that anonymity, and that way you'll be like laying under a tree and be able to feel that freedom in just having some of your thoughts addressed, some of your issues addressed, sometimes just writing out the question gives you relief. I'm telling you, it really does. You're writing out something and then you think, because I've done this, even when I'm emailing a friend, I'll write out, oh, you have no idea what happened today. And then I'm writing it out. And then I'm realizing, oh, yeah, I think I got some thoughts here. I got an answer. Or it felt better even that. So feel free anytime. And you can text, as I said, 573-4BREAD-4. So God does talk to you. Are you listening? Do you practice meekness, which I'm going to start thinking about today because I never knew that it meant that. I never heard it. I like etymology. I never heard it like that before. So I'm keeping that in my mind today. And the idea of let go and let God, it sounds so cliche. However, yeah, I get that now because wouldn't it feel good to just really let it all go, have someone else pay your bills? And I guess Jesus kind of did that, didn't he? But, you know, have someone else pay your bills. Have someone else drive your car. Someone else say, oh, don't worry, I've already fixed everything. It's done. Tires are changed. Oh, don't worry, dog fed. Oh, don't worry, you got milk. Oh, don't worry, picked up the kids. Don't worry, I paid your mortgage. I mean, wouldn't that be wonderful? So if with our emotional burdens and our emotional debts and our emotional problems and our emotional pasts, that's all, we can let that go. We can really let it go. And that's part of our pride, is part of my pride is saying, okay, I love that. It's great. I want it. Yes, yes, yes. But I really don't do it. When I really get to that very moment when I say, when it's like, let go of everything? Really? Okay. But I don't even know how to do that, because in 1 second I'm like trying to control it again. Oh, I've got to do it this way. I've got to do it that way. And to try to understand, don't try to understand, but to begin to open up to understand that this is something that we can't try to do. We just have to do it. So I want to read you another something too. We're probably not going to get into the girls today. Maybe we will. I'm going to read you something here as well. First, we'll go to Psalm 33. So it says, no king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his own strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him and on those who hope in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. All right, that's the end of Psalm 33. And that fits in, which I really didn't know, to be honest with you, until just now, how well it fits in with our idea of meekness and knowing that it means strength under control, and that it was used to describe the stallion and all its strength. It doesn't take the strength away. It utilizes that strength, doesn't it? We talk about breaking that spirit, but the spirit isn't broken. Or the horses, you've seen dogs, you know, people die of broken hearts. Dogs and animals can do the same thing. So we understand that this is something quite, quite different. So I also want to share with you a little something too that came up with someone who, let's see if this is it. From someone who, well, let me get it back up again. Yes. Okay. So this was actually something from someone who is struggling with addictions, and they texted and brought this to my attention today. And I thought, wow, that's no coincidence here for me personally, not just for this other person. So it says, it's for August 12th, and it's from their readings from, it's now the AA has this and NA has taken it as well. You know, it's always just variations of the theme, and they use their own. You can just fill in the blank for whatever addiction or problem you want. So this particular one, this was for Narcotics Anonymous, and they fill in the blank for narcotics. But I think this comes from AA. It's from their reflection just for today. And it says, enough. Something inside cries out, enough, enough, I've had enough. And then they are ready to take that first and often most difficult step toward dealing with their disease. Now, remember, their disease could be your overeating, your self-deprecation, your scrupulosity, your reliance too much on someone else, your prison of being in an abusive relationship and not being able to have enough dignity to walk away from it or to get out of it or to say no more. It could be your addiction to an alcohol or a substance or pornography or sex or relationships, love, admiration, work, all those things. So fill in that blank. Don't turn this off because you think, oh, well, I don't do narcotics. It says, have we really had enough? This is the crucial question we must ask ourselves as we prepare to work the first step. Now, they're talking about the first step in the AA program or the Narcotics Anonymous program, but I'm talking about the first step toward healing. So just use that with me. Be there with me on this. It doesn't matter whether or not we arrived in NA with our families intact, our careers still working for us, and all the outward appearances of wholeness. All that matters is that we have reached an emotional and spiritual bottom that precludes our return to our active, and then fill in the blank, workaholism, exercise, dieting, overeating, needing approval, scrupulosity, overwork, overvolunteering, anything. If we have, we will be truly ready to go to any lengths to quit using. When we inventory our powerlessness, we ask ourselves some simple questions. Can I control this and all of its many forms? What incidents have occurred as a result of my, and I'll put in the blank, particular failing, addiction, whatever, that I didn't want to happen? How is my life unmanageable? Do I believe in my heart that there is a problem? If the answer to these questions lead us to the doors of, and I'll just put recovery or asking help or seeking mental or physical or spiritual help, then we are ready to move on to the next step toward a life free from active addiction. If we have truly had enough, then we will be willing to go to any length to find recovery. Just for today, I admit that I've had enough and I am ready for the first step. So are you ready for the first step? Are you ready for the first step to listen? Even if you've been there before, you might need the first step again to listen to that voice of God inside of you. That's an important thing for you to take home today for this weekend. Think about being meek. Think about if you've had enough with where you're at. Have you had enough sadness? Have you had enough turmoil? Have you had enough second guessing yourself constantly because you had been a victim of abuse or maybe are a victim of abuse? Have you had enough? Have you had enough to listen to what others want for you? Have you had enough of following the status quo, of not hearing, not allowing yourself, knowing that you heard, as I talked about Mozart, you heard that lizard, you heard that rustle, you heard that little being off into the bush that nobody else can hear. And you just say, oh, well, no one else hears it. So therefore, it's not real. Have you had enough of that? Because you will find the answer to your purpose when you start hearing what others don't. The voice of God that's inside of you, that's for you only, the individual of you. That is when you will start getting, as Argelia so beautifully came up with today, that it will eliminate the worry. It will relieve the stress. It will dissipate anger and resentment. When you know that you have taken all that power and that strength that God wants you to have and said, okay, I'm yours. You take the reins, but I'll do the pulling. I'll do what you ask me to do, even if it's hard. You have a beautiful, wonderful weekend. God bless you all. Email me, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. Thank you for walking today with me on Dr. Michelle Live. We will see you Monday.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.